This morning, in a few short moments, we're going to have the opportunity to celebrate the baptism of those who have made the decision to be baptized this morning. But I also want to challenge you to understand the immediacy of the baptism moment and the power that we find in Scripture. Actually, in Acts, it's 27 times we see that believers were baptized. 27 different times they tell stories of believers being baptized. What's amazing is, as I was, over the last couple of weeks, just allowing Scripture to just kind of soak into me, I was reading in Acts chapter 16. And from verse 11 to verse 34, there's this incredible package of two different stories and distinct stories about the immediacy of baptism. What's amazing is we see Paul and Silas going to Philippi on a missionary journey. Their intention was to spread the good news in that whole entire area. And they show up and they decide, you know, there really is a great place for us to share this word, and let's go down to the river, because we know that there's many people that are typically down at the river. And so they went down to the river, and when they got there, they met a woman named Lydia. What we know about Lydia is that she was a person who was a purveyor of fine purple garments, fine linens, probably the finest linens in that area. So Lydia hears Paul and Silas share the gospel message. They shared that Jesus is the one and only true God. They shared that Jesus was the Son of the living God. They shared that Jesus came, that God came through his Son Jesus, and he died on the cross for them. And that in that moment, 3 days later, he was resurrected. And as Paul shared with them, he shared that you can experience the resurrected life as well. Well, Lydia, hearing the word of God, believing and accepting the grace of God, immediately decided, well, I need to be baptized. So her and her whole family were baptized in the river that day. That's incredible. But it doesn't stop there. Paul and Silas go into Philippi, and they're walking around, and this woman starts to follow them. But this woman is demon-possessed. She has a demon inside of her that gives her the ability to foretell the future. And she works for a bunch of really strong, powerful men that make money off of her ability to foretell the future. So she walks around behind Paul and Silas, and the whole entire time that they're trying to share about this Jesus, she keeps walking around behind him going, they're here to tell you about Jesus, the Son of the living God. They're here to tell you about Jesus, the Son of the living God. They're here to tell you about Jesus, the Son of the living God. They're here to tell you about Jesus, the Son of the living God. You know, and she's, and I know you heard me say it 4 times and you're like, okay, Pastor, let's keep going, right? There's got to be more to the story. That is the story. The story is that the demon was trying to distract everybody. Paul and Silas knew it. Isn't it interesting when you think about it that even demons know the truth about God? And even demons tell the truth about why God is sending Paul and Silas to that area? I mean, that's powerful. That's powerful. But in this case, it was a distraction. The demon was trying to intentionally distract the people from hearing the message. So she kept screaming it, screaming it. Well, I love what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that Paul, being exasperated, what a great word, exasperated, right? Well, you see that word actually in Proverbs. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, right? So this means Paul was starting to get fed up, right? I mean, the man's full of grace, and he's full of love and compassion. But he knew exactly what was happening. And his argument and his fight was not against the woman. It was against the demon that was inside of her. So what happens? Paul, being exasperated, basically being just fed up, he turns around and he says, demon, you're out. Come out of her. And here's the amazing thing. Paul, in that moment, knew what everybody else knew as well, that when a man of God utters the word, the name of Jesus, demons will flee. They'll shriek. They have no choice. So the power of God through his Holy Spirit was displayed in that moment. And Paul says to the demon inside that woman, out. And immediately the demon flees. Well, unfortunately, this became a pretty bad business deal for the men that were making lots of money off of the fact that this woman could foretell the future. So these men went in front of the court. They really didn't have much of an argument, but they went there and they said, they're bad. And they took away our woman that told her to foretell the future, right? And they threw like a temper tantrum. Do something about this. I mean, can you imagine that scene, these grown men showing up, and Paul and Silas are like, "Wow, you don't know, what do you mean, what's going on?" Right? And so they throw this temper tantrum, and of course, the, you know, money talks, and the leaders of the time, they make a decision. They say, "Well, you know, you are blaspheming and spreading heresy, you're talking about Jesus, and you keep telling us that we're the ones that did this to him." And so they got a little upset, so what do? They threw Paul and Silas into prison. They throw them into prison, and we know because the scripture tells us that they were beaten. They were beaten in that prison. They were put in stocks, their hands, their wrists. And actually during this time, they would many times put a shackle around your neck. And that shackle went around your neck and it was attached directly to the floor in front of you. So you were constantly driven to your knees. The scripture tells us that it was the inner dungeon. It wasn't the outer dungeons and the outer cells. It was the inner cell. Because they wanted to make sure that Paul and Silas wouldn't escape. See, stories about the disciples were spreading. People knew that there was power in the name of Jesus, and they knew that Jesus had the ability to free them no matter what any human could do. But they still decided, let's beat them, let's put them in the inside prison, and let's put a jailer in front of their cell to make sure that there's no doubt that they're going to be able to walk away. So Paul, Silas, beaten, battered, bruised. What do they do in the middle of the night? They're singing songs and hymns of praise to God. They're not in the prison cell saying, "Oh, Jesus, remove us from this cell. Take the pain away. It hurts too much." Instead, they're crying out, "Jesus, thank you for counting us worthy to suffer in your name." They're singing songs of hymns of praise to God. Which, what does the scripture say? Everybody else in the cells around him, what were they doing? They were listening. Here's the amazing thing. An earthquake happens. The cells were literally dismantled. The hinges come off of the cells and the doors flop forward. And what does it say? That Paul and Silas easily could have escaped at that point. They knew that it was God. They knew that God had provided for a way for them to get out of prison. They knew that. But the amazing thing is, the Philippian jailer is still there watching over them. So what's the first thing he does? He draws his sword, right? If you're met with the task of making sure that the prisoners stay in the prison, and all of a sudden there's a great earthquake and all the doors fall off, you're going to go to your next best thing, your weapon. And we tend to think that he pulled the weapon out because he's like, "Get back in the cells, all of you prisoners," right? No. No, because he knew that he was outmatched. He knew that he was a person that was going up against an unstoppable God. A God that could do anything he wanted, anywhere he wanted, at any time. And his servants were suffering in that prison. And there was an earthquake and the doors were open. So the Philippian jailer pulls his sword out and he begins to turn it upon himself. Because back during this time, if you didn't do what you were hired to do, it would cost you your life. So he looked at this and said, "It's either by my hands or by the hands of my superiors." And he's freaking out. And so Paul and Silas in that moment, what's really incredible in the story is, what was their response? No, don't do it. Because this Philippian jailer is standing there and he's like, "Well, this is it for me." And Paul's like, no. Look, we're all here. How incredible is that scene? How incredible is it that God sends this earthquake, the doors literally come unhinged, they fly open, Paul and Silas could very easily walk out under their own ability and strength. And in that moment, Paul says, look, we're all still here. You're okay. So then the Philippian jailer is like, "What are you guys all about? I mean, you're suffering for this Savior. you're experiencing incredible persecution. Instead of praying, God, get me out of here, you're thanking God for allowing you to be there. You're singing songs and hymns of praise. The doors, your God sends an earthquake, opens up the doors, and you have the ability to walk out, but yet you stay. What is it about you that's different? It's exactly what Pastor Xavier said. People are going to be looking at Malcolm. Malcolm, what is it about you that's different? And so in that moment, what does Paul do? He shares the gospel message. He shares the gospel message, and the Philippian jailer hears the gospel message. He accepts the grace that can only come from God. And then what does he do next? He takes Paul and Silas out, and he takes them to his home. The amazing thing is when they get to his home, all of a sudden, the Philippian jailer starts bandaging their wounds. I mean, because if you think about it, they were just beaten. And we don't know at what condition. It could have been 40 minus one lashes. We have no idea. But we know it was bad enough that his family had to come around and help Paul and Silas to heal their wounds and bandage their wounds. So what the scripture tells us as we keep getting down into the 29s and 30s and 31s, this is all from just memory right now. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. But the amazing thing is, they all of a sudden, they get to this place, they began to bandage their wounds. And what does the scripture say? In the middle of the night, Paul and Silas say to the Philippian jailer, for you to accept Christ and for your whole family to accept Christ, he bandages their wounds. And what do? They immediately go to the river and they're baptized. Immediately. I mean, they didn't wait. They could have all said, it's kind of dark. And what we have is torches and stuff, and we can maybe make our way down to the river. I mean, they could have used any excuses. They could have said, why don't we just wait till daybreak? I mean, it's really not that big a deal, is it? We could just wait a few more hours. No. They said, wait a minute. God's transforming story has come to me, and I believe and I accept it. And the next thing I know that I desire to do is to be baptized. So immediately in that moment, they are baptized. What an incredible story. 27 different times in Acts, we find those stories. We see Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost, and he shares the word of God with them. He shares the gospel. Now, I'm establishing a pattern here, and I hope you're hearing it. There's an establishment of the fact that the word of God and the gospel is spoken. And then all of a sudden that people that are there receive and accept and believe in the grace that God is extending to them in that moment. So what we would call that is salvation. And then immediately upon salvation, what did they do in Acts chapter 2? They stood in line probably for the day as 3,000 people were baptized. How awesome is that? I mean, how awesome it is to mentally picture that in your mind, 3,000 people. And I'm sure that they had plenty of other things that they could have done. They're probably standing in line going, man, I got to milk the cow. Who's taking care of the sheep? Right? But they stood and they waited because of the power of that moment. The power of the moment was recognizing that the gospel was presented to them, that they accepted it and they believed it. And the immediate thing that they wanted to do after that was to be baptized. Folks, 3 years ago, we did something really crazy here. We did a baptismal service that was spontaneous. And we basically didn't tell anybody. We came prepared. And we had that kind of element of surprise. Today is your day, and you can be baptized as well. Well, the intention of spontaneous baptism is that it's spontaneous. And over the last couple of years, I've had many people ask me, Pastor, when are we going to do that again? And I've wrestled with that. Because the original reason why we did it was because God put it on our heart to do. Not because we can craft anything, or we can pull any strings, or we can make it different or feel, you know, more or less important, or it's not about us. You see, baptism has very little to do with us. It has everything to do with God. And so for us, as we thought about this year, it's different for us to do two services on Baptism Sunday. Because in the first service, the candidates for baptism shared their testimony. but then we wait until second service in order for them to actually be baptized. And we could have baptized them in the first service. A part of me really wanted to, because the service was powerful. God moved in a mighty, mighty way. It was so incredible. And so there was a part of me that wanted to do that, but then there's all sorts of things that are wrong with that when you do it in first service and then try to duplicate it in second service. Like, we get into theological things, and it's just, yeah, we don't do that. But what we thought about was not necessarily the element of surprise for spontaneous baptism, but providing an opportunity for you this morning that have professed a faith in Jesus Christ, that have heard the gospel message, that have accepted that message, and that God is the living Lord of your life, and you're experiencing the resurrected life that he has for you, and you haven't been baptized. If that's you this morning, can I tell you that we're prepared for you to be able to be baptized this morning? Not in a spontaneous, emotional type of response, but in a way that your church has come prepared, that if you would like to participate in that, it's available for you today. I think about the powerful purpose of the scripture. The early Christians, that's what was on their heart. They wanted to do that. You see, baptism in many ways is kind of like the wedding ring of your faith. It's you coming down the aisle and saying publicly that you are his and he is yours. We can wear it as a symbol, kind of like a wedding ring of our Christian faith and experience, because we get to participate in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Colossians 2 tells us, Paul helps us to understand what the powerful intention of that moment is. Let me pull that up real fast. Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Can I tell you that the reason why the symbolism of baptism is so important is because it symbolizes when we go down into the water, we experience the same death, the death that Christ experienced when he was in the grave for 3 days. Aren't you glad this morning we don't hold you in the water for 3 days? I mean, that's a, you know. But it's the symbolism of experiencing that death. And like it says right here, that for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God. Amen? So that symbolism, and I love, and I always love sharing that with the baptism candidates, is to help them realize that breath that they breathe in when you come out of the water, it's like a baby being born. What does everybody listen for when a baby is born? The cry. It's the only time that we're so thankful that they cry. Right? But we listen for the cry, because what does the cry indicate? That air has entered their lungs. Folks, I love hearing when the baptism candidates come out of the water and you have that big gasp. Because it's that new life, it's that breath, that ruach of God that the Holy Spirit gives us in that moment. It's like a child being born and you hear that cry for the first time. I get excited about sharing this with you because I don't believe that there's any difference between what Paul and Silas shared with those who were in attendance in their audience, in their congregation as well. And I can't make you want to be intense about recognizing that this is a next step in your journey. Folks, I was 24 when I was baptized. And it wasn't because I was just putting it off or anything like that. It was because I called my mom. And I said, Mom, who baptized me? What? What do you mean? Who baptized you? And I was like, what do you mean? What do I mean? She said, you were dedicated as a child, but we didn't baptize you. I always thought that I was baptized, but I wasn't. I was dedicated. And I said, Mom, I'm 24 years old. when were you going to let me know that I wasn't baptized? She said, well, I always thought you knew. She's like, every time they offered baptism at church, I was always looking at you. And I was like, well, you always looked at me. I'm like, you always looked at me. Sometimes over the crown of your glasses, you know? So I was 24 years old, and I can tell you that when I found out that I hadn't been baptized, I was excited. And let me tell you this morning, and I made this declaration in first service, and I believe it. I believe it, and I want to make this declaration for us as a church. We can't wait one time of year in order to celebrate the incredible gift of baptism. I want to declare to you that when we talk about reaching people to equip people, if there are people that attend Trinity and they give their life to Christ, we need to immediately come alongside them and teach them the powerful opportunity of the next step in their journey, which is baptism. And we need to open up that baptistry more often than just one time of year. And the church needs to continually celebrate the new life in Christ that we get to watch visually as it happens inside the baptistry. Amen? Are you with me on that? Because I'll tell you what. We believe that which gets repeated, that which gets celebrated, gets repeated. So if you're here this morning, we have those that already you know are going to be baptized, and they're excited, and I'm excited. We're excited to be a part of that. And we have some that are going to be baptized this morning that didn't share their testimony. And so I want to invite you that if you have come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he saves you right now, and you understand and believe that, and you haven't experienced the next step of your spiritual journey, no matter how old you are, no matter where even you're at in your stage of Christian development, we have an opportunity for you to be baptized this morning. We have a shirt, we have shorts, we have deodorant, we have undergarments, we've got everything that you need. We've got plastic bags for your dry, for your wet clothes. We've got towels for you. There is no excuse for you not to participate in baptism this morning. And again, it's not, I don't want it to be seen as an emotional response other than the Holy Spirit prompting you right now. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Never being manipulated by man. And that is definitely not my intention this morning. It's just to listen and pay attention. Holy Spirit, is this something that you desire of me today? And again, we didn't want it to be that spontaneous. We just wanted to be an offer, just an opportunity for you. Many, many times at the end of our baptism service, we have people that come up and they say, wow, I really wish I would have done that. And even one time I even said, you know, my swimsuit's right back there. I can go put that back on. The water is still good. We can do this. And really the truth is the water has no cleansing value. It's what the symbol and the recognition of God's grace that happens in that moment. Many of you, maybe at some point in your journey, have been baptized. Can I tell you that you don't need to be re-baptized today? The grace of God that was extended to you then is the same and powerful grace that is for you right now. It didn't change. Many of you, maybe even as babies, were baptized. And I want to say to you that it's your choice this morning. As a baby, the grace that was extended to you is still the same and powerful as it is today. His grace doesn't change. His grace is sufficient. His grace is all we need. But for you this morning, I don't think that God is going to be upset with us if as an adult you come and make the declaration that you choose to participate in baptism with your Heavenly Father. I don't think he's going to be upset with us. And so if maybe you were baptized as a child, but as an adult today, you say, Pastor, I want to be baptized, then I would love to be able to offer that to you today. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to sing worship. We're going to worship together. I'm going to do my best Superman impersonation and change. And we have those that we know are going to be baptized this morning. And at that time, if you this morning would like to be baptized along with them, I want you just to follow them out okay? Just follow them right out the back doors. We have people that are stationed that will take care of you. They're prepared to walk with you through all the steps. They want to provide a safe place. Your kids will be fine. If you have kids this morning, just look at your neighbor and say, I got to do this. God is prompting me to do this. And they'll know what that means. It means take care of my children. Make sure they don't wander off, right? And so I want to allow God to prompt. And so let's stand together. And like I said, it's just an offer. And so right now, let's pray. And then at the end of the prayer, when I say amen, if you want to be baptized, and those who are already prepared to be baptized, let's go right out that center aisle. We'll go out the back doors, and then the team will take care of it from there. Okay? Can we do that? Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, the prompting of your Spirit is so important and so powerful. There are many in this place, Lord Jesus, that I believe right now are listening closely. Lord, we pray that what has been presented now doesn't ever come across as obligation, but simply comes across as obedient opportunity. Lord Jesus, we believe in the message and the power and the gospel that you have brought to us, that you sent your Son to die on the cross, to represent it, to be sin, because your Son became sin so that we didn't have to experience death anymore. And Jesus, we believe in the grace, the free grace, the grace that's extended to each and every one of us right now. And we believe it's that grace that saves us through faith and belief in who you are. And Jesus, this morning, we believe in the power of the resurrection. We believe in what the symbol of baptism represents, experiencing that death and that resurrection with you. And we are thankful for that this morning. And now, Jesus, by the prompting of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be speaking directly into us. And if there are others this morning that would like to be baptized beside those who I've already chosen, Lord, would you do that work? No one else, not our neighbors, not our family, not our spouses. It's just between us and you, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for that powerful, powerful reminder that you are all powerful and your grace is sufficient. So give us the power and the opportunity now, Jesus, to continue to choose you because you have already chosen us. So we give you thanks and praise for these things, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would remain standing, and if you'd like to be baptized this morning, we just invite you to participate in it with us.